Well, dear brethren, we've enjoyed the fellowship of the Chandlers with us this past few days, and thank them for making the long journey from the West Coast over here to the East Coast. And Brother Carlton is going to close our convention with this subject, His Lightnings Enlightened the World. Brother Carlton.
Thank you, Brother Michael and Brother Jacobs, for the prayer. I can't thank the Orlando brethren enough for the privilege of being here. Both Catherine and I, as I've said earlier, we look forward to this, and it's been a blessing to us to be here with all of you, dear brethren. We're going to take some thoughts today from the 97th Psalm, and especially verse 4, which reads, His lightnings enlightened the world, the earth saw and trembled. There has been much trembling since 9/11. We've learned much about the feelings of the people of the world. We have seen and witnessed their heroism. We have seen them even come together to help one another. Yet, they're afraid. And you and I have the privilege of alleviating some of this fear and trembling among the world of mankind through God's lightning. You know, beautiful and meaningful is the descriptive language of the Bible. Both the Old and New Testaments give us numerous pictures of the events now taking place in the world. And the prophecies identify the present period of human experience and classify it as the day of the Lord, the day of Almighty God. It is a transition period in which man-made rulership, based upon selfishness and guided largely by misleading human philosophy, is failing. It's crumbling to its fall. But just what is meant by His lightnings? This word from the Hebrew means to enlighten, or largely to give insight into the events that follow. This psalm speaks of the time for the world to be enlightened. See God's mighty power, which will bring the overthrow of all evil and be the means to usher in Christ's reign. In Psalms 91, we read Psalms 91, verse 1, 97, verse 1, excuse me. The Lord, notice we've learned also as Bible students that when the word is capitalized, it's talking about Almighty God. And the word there is the Lord, Almighty God reigns. Now, in this verse, the thought is not that the reign has begun here as some think, but that the Heavenly Father fills the position in the world as ruler. As ruler, He uses His power to first tear down the old systems. And this, again, is in harmony with the scripture of Psalms 110, verse 1. 110, verse 1. Sit thou at mine right hand, which is a reference to Jesus Christ, until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Now, Psalms 97 is just one of many prophecies which identify this present period of human experience as the day, the period of time of the Lord, the day of Almighty God. And it is a transition period, a period of change, leading to the establishment of Christ's kingdom, for which all of us have been taught to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, even as it is being done in heaven." Luke 11, verse 2. The day in which we are living is also called the day of vengeance of our God. Isaiah 61, verse 2. Isaiah 61, verse 2. This reference to the Heavenly Father has given to him, to the world of mankind mainly, something of an evil character. It is true that for all the evil that has been perpetrated upon mankind and upon God's true people, that there must be satisfaction made for this evil. We read in Deuteronomy 32, verse 41, of chapter 32 of Deuteronomy, "I will render vengeance to mine enemies and will reward them that hate me." It is now in the end of this gospel age that these scriptures are being fulfilled. All of God's enemies will be destroyed in a great time of trouble. Isaiah 34, verses 1 and 2 reads, "Come near, ye nations, to hear, and to hearken, ye peoples, and let the earth hear, and all the things that are come forth of it, the world, and all things that come forth from it, for the indignation," that is from Strong 71:10, "wrath of the Lord, the self-existing eternal one, is upon all nations, and his fury upon all their armies. He hath utterly destroyed them. He hath delivered them to the slaughter." And then comes verse 8, "This is the day of the Lord's vengeance, and the year of the recompenses for the controversy of Zion. Zion, here from again Strong 67:26 of his concordance, means the guiding pillar. This controversy is to plead of Zion. So we should read this text, then, "This is the day of the Lord's vengeance and the recompenses for that will lead to the guiding pillar." And we remember also another scripture that we find refers to this pleading for Zion in Revelation 6, verse 10. Revelation 6, verse 10. And there, "How long, O Lord, will thy not..." Let's read that text together. It's a very interesting text and shows the pleadings of God's children for the problems, the troubles that have come upon this earth. "And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" The time has come when God is stepping in for his people. Close, but I didn't spill it. In Psalms 110, verse 5, the word wrath is used, and some think of these terms as divine malice, but not so. For God has established certain laws in harmony in which he operates, and those who come into conflict with these will reap the penalty of their course. The prophet Malachi speaks of this same period as the day which shall burn as an oven, and all the proud and all that do wickedly shall be as stubble. Malachi 4, verse 1. Malachi 4, 1. The prophet Joel, in foretelling of this same time, speaks of the distress upon the world as a day of clouds and thick darkness. Joel 2, 2. Joel 2, verse 2. Jesus refers to this same time as one of great tribulation, so ruinous in its character that if it were not cut short, no flesh would survive its ravages. And this comes from Matthew, the 24th chapter, verses 21 and 22. Going back to our theme text, the prophetic lightnings are symbolic of the increase of knowledge. And Daniel spoke of this great increase of knowledge that would come in the 12th chapter, verse 3, when he says that Michael shall stand up and there will be a great time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. And then he gives other evidences of Christ's second presence. Many writers and great statesmen now recognize the relationship between education and present world chaos. This education, this enlightenment, has started the common people on the march for freedom, but did not recognize it as a fulfillment of Bible prophecy, and certainly not that the time had come for God to establish his kingdom. For centuries, the theory was that knowledge was a dangerous thing in the hands of the common people, and indeed it was to the hereditary ruling classes. Every effort was made to keep the people in ignorance, and this was the very period called the Dark Ages. The symbolism of thunder and lightning certainly is apt today in the problems of society. The social and religious, political and economical systems. Today, the masses are pressing for better things for which they believe they are entitled. The whole current of popular thought today is set in a revolutionary direction. How clearly the prophetic lightning flashes from God's throne are helping to reveal the corruption which is in the world. And again we read on this very subject, for the word of God is living and it is active. It is sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Hebrews, the 4th chapter, verses 12 and 13. Hebrews 4, verses 12 and 13 from the New International Version. How clearly the prophetic lightning flashes from God's throne are helping in this day that we are living to reveal the corruption that is in the world, hence emphasizing more and more the need for radical changes to be made in the world economy and its setup. Today we find moral decay as in the days of Lot, Luke 17, 28 and 29. We find moral decay in government and moral decay even in the religious systems of this world. The great money systems of the world are causing thousands, tens of thousands, to be laid off from work. The Portland, Oregonian newspaper of last August, a year ago, just a little over a year ago, and it hasn't changed one bit, said that unemployment had risen to 6.2%. This is in our area, and it's still the same, and it would likely rise even more so. We find daily what is going on in the nation of Israel, the bomb threats and the bombers that are killing the people there. Indeed, the earth is trembling from worldly conflict and global war. In the midst of all this trouble are the Lord's people. What is the attitude of the truly consecrated and faithful people? Are they in fear and doubt? Are they in confusion? Not if they are living up to their privileges as watchmen in Zion, Isaiah 52, verse 8, Isaiah 52, 8. For the Lord's people have a message that they can sing, and that message is found in the 61st chapter of the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 61, verses 1 to 3. Those beautiful words that help us all. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to its prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting. So they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. This is from the New American Standard Version. It is true that the Lord's people suffer from the distresses of the world, but they know the outcome. They truly can lift up their heads in confidence, knowing that their deliverance draweth nigh. Luke 21, verse 28. Verse 21, chapter 21, verse 28 of Luke. And the deliverance of the whole world of mankind from the thraldoms of sin and death. Through the aid of the scriptures, the Lord's people are given a clear knowledge of the divine plan with its times and its seasons. 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, verse 1, and Matthew, the 24th chapter, verses 45 and 46. This divine plan enables them to see both the necessity for the present method of divine discipline coming upon the world, and also the peaceable fruits of righteousness which will result therefrom. In the midst of the storm and confusion of this great day of the Lord, God's people hear the commanding voice of the Lord of armies, and their hearts rejoice. These have full confidence in his ability to bring order out of confusion. Now the Lord's people remember the words of Revelation 6:10, and we do remember them, do we not? How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? Now in the judgments of this day, it is the Lord who speaks from heaven, from his high place of authority and control, and his people can give thanks that at long last he is calling to a halt on the unrestrained human selfishness by gradually setting aside the order of things which it produced, that his long-promised kingdom may be established in its place. This is why we have such a message of comfort that we can bring. For his long-promised kingdom is guaranteed to be established upon this earth. The lightning flashes portrayed by these prophecies are symbolic of the knowledge along all lines as it affects the course of human behavior. spiritual truth as it applies to God's will for his own people is revealed through the scriptures and disseminated by the consecrated followers of the Master. To understand the prophetic meaning of the times in which we are living is really to be regarded as a special favor from the Lord. Our attitude should be one of great gratitude for God and for his beautiful truth, of which he has granted us the privilege of seeing and with which we have the blessed privilege of being identified. Our gratitude should be manifested by an increasing zeal in helping to bring about this truth to the knowledge of all around us. We quote from the September 1st, 1916 reprint article, page 5951. Our eyes of understanding should discern clearly the battle of the great day of God Almighty now in progress. And by our faith, guiding our eyes of understanding through the Word should enable us to see the glorious outcome of Messiah's kingdom. Unquote. These words were penned 85 years ago. Pretty close to 85 years ago. And we still see the great day of God Almighty in progress. Its general character is that of a struggle of light against darkness, of liberty against oppression, of truth against error. It is very widespread. It is so widespread that we can say it is universal in all of its ramifications, and that not one symbolism can fully describe it. Another addition to prophetic pictures is described as the fire of God's jealousy in Zephaniah, the 3rd chapter, and verse 8, Zephaniah 3:8. And then Nahum 1:3 and verses 6 and 7 informs us that his way is in the whirlwind and in the storm. It is also prophetically described as a flood of mighty waters and as a great earthquake. Isaiah 28, verse 2, Isaiah 28, 2, and Revelation 16, 18. Now, as we have seen in our present day, militarism forms a greater or lesser prominent part of the great day of trouble. The prophet Jeremiah says, "I will call for the sword upon all the inhabitants of the earth." Jeremiah 25, verse 29. Another similar thought is suggested in Isaiah, where the kingdoms of the earth are symbolized as mountains and said to be melted with the blood of armies. Isaiah 34, verse 3. When we look through the scriptures, we go clear back to the prophet's time where he says about the wind, the earthquake, and the fire, the prophet Elijah. Now, this is still another symbolism picturing the present transition period. And it is the same picture in which the Apostle Paul likens the trouble to birth pangs, which come upon a woman in travail, 1 Thessalonians 5, 1-3. Now, there are suggestions in these various prophecies that there were to be three major spasms of trouble. Three. These are depicted, as we have stated, to the prophet Elijah, likened to wind, earthquake, and fire. Now, we are not to understand that the symbolism of wind applies exclusively to the first phase of the time of trouble, and that the fire of the prophecies only applies to the last phase. No, It is true, though, that the sequence of wind, earthquake, and fire was used by God in revealing three different stages of trouble. He revealed these to Elijah. Yet in some of these same respects, all of the various prophetic symbols apply to every phase of the great time of trouble. There is and still is to be a great shaking of the nations, the fire of God's jealousy, a storm, a flood. The prophecy of Isaiah, the 24th chapter, is also brought to the point in this connection. The time of trouble is said to empty the symbolic earth and turn it upside down. The earth is said to fade away. The inhabitants of the earth are said to be burned. The foundations shake, and the earth is said to be utterly broken down, dissolved, and moved. So again, the earth is also said to reel to and fro like a drunkard and be removed like a cottage. Whatever the symbolism to describe one or more of the events that we see now transpiring in this momentous day of the Lord, it is a fact that God takes the responsibility for the overthrow of this present evil world. He explains that he accomplishes this end through the increase of knowledge, the flashing of his lightnings. As for the Lord's people, they are not to be agitators of the trouble. They are not to be troublemakers. They are to be subject to the powers that be, as they endeavor faithfully to explain to those who have a hearing ear the true significance of present world events. And thus, we are as ambassadors of the coming kingdom of Jesus Christ, which the scriptures show is very nigh at hand. What a privilege! What a blessing to be living in these last days and to see enacted the scenes which will constitute the most outstanding historic period of all ages. Yes, let us go back and read our text again. His lightnings enlightened the world. The earth saw, and it trembled. Brethren, let us take our responsibilities, the knowledge that we have at hand, to tell the world of the coming outcome of this time of trouble. Tell them of the glorious kingdom which is to come, which will bless all the grieving families of this earth. Let us be faithful to that covenant we made with God so long ago, or just even a short time ago. Let us be faithful in every respect. And may God bless you and keep you, make his face to shine upon you, lift up his countenance upon you, and give you peace. Amen.